Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I am Will.
It's been a little while. Seemingly, it's been like 2 weeks for us because, unbeknownst to us, last show when it was supposed to air, we had a football game.
Yeah.
And I mean, we like sports. I mean, we do. We're not gonna play that song. We
like feel sports like we, and we don't care.
We feel like
knows.
We've used that joke enough.
Yeah, how many times have we used it? I think it's like
3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
We keep getting overrun by sports, but that's fine.
Reuse.
You know, it's easier for us to change the show to next week than for them to move like all those people and the game and the recording. So
we're not that important.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, we're pretty important though. Like, people know us.
I mean, what can I say?
I mean, can you name any of the people that play on Southeastern's team? No, you can't. See that dead air just now?
Yeah.
No, you can't. But you can name MG and Will. Will
True.
And MG.
True.
So
you have a good point.
We're pretty
actually.
Important. a lot of stuff has happened, though. Again, like, think about last week's episode. That was supposed to be 2 weeks ago. Now we've got a lot of stuff to cover. So we're going to jump right into it. And we're going to start off with a few happy birthday. Well, just one happy birthday, really. Happy birthday, Eve. It's been
Yay!
A while since the whole, you know, Apple thing. No, and realistically, he would go through the entire thing if I didn't, like, stop him with my arms, like, stop.
I was just going to sing in the background. Be like, on the background music.
We're on the air. So, Eve Online, 10 years old this past weekend, and it did something really cool. Like, the devs, CCP, which is, I think they're based in Iceland, the game doesn't have as many people as, like, WoW. Right?
Yeah.
So, because WoW is...
I mean, it's WoW.
WoW is WoW. It's got a huge...
Yeah.
Blizzard's really good about getting a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
Though we're going to talk about Blizzard in a little bit, because something crazy happened with them pretty recently, too. So, EVE Online turned 10, and it did this really cool thing. They've done it in the past, too. CCP gives everybody playing WoW, or I'm sorry, playing EVE, a gift. They give in-game mm-hmm. items. And in this case, they give them fireworks and a festival fireworks launcher to mount on your ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fly out and you could just pop, you know, firecrackers. And they gave you more every hour.
Really?
So it was just like as many fireworks as you want.
That is so cool.
And it was really cool. They gave you a brand new, I think it's a destroyer or a, I'm sorry, it's a cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the Gnosis. It's a Jovian ship. And we don't know much about the Jovians in the game. So it's kind of cool. You know, people are going to die in them because they don't know what they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
that's really neat. They gave them implants so you can learn things faster. And it's not game-changing stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a nice gesture. They give them in-game, you know, garb to wear, like an in-game shirt for your dude to wear, your girl to wear. So it was really, really cool.
It's really cool.
The devs, CCP devs, flew around in what they call dev fleets. So they, like, group together, and then they just fly around, and people could just, like, engage them, like, fight them. And they'd
really?
Fight. They'd fight with whomever.
Did the devs lose, or were the devs like, LOL, we're GMs, our weapons are way better
than they didn't use any cheats. Like, that's
really?
The thing. They didn't use any cheats.
Wow.
They didn't have anything crazy attached to their characters that they built. They wanted to stay alive. They wanted to provide, like, a big, giant fight,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't want it to be so, you know, overpowering that you can't win.
Yeah.
I believe a lot of the dev fleets did, in fact, lose, because that's kind of the point. It's
yeah.
supposed to make the characters feel good about themselves, the people playing. They've done a lot with Eve. You know, it's been a long run, but Eve has done a ton to integrate into multiple facets. Very much, you know, WoW does a similar thing.
Yeah.
WoW does, I believe they're doing Hearthstone now. They did the card game,
mm-hmm.
and of course they have WoW proper on mm-hmm. computer, on PC and Mac. But EVE Online does different genres of games, and they're all really relatively full-featured games. So they've got Dust 514.
Yeah, I remember you told me about that, how they
yeah.
can go, like, cross-type thing. Like, it's a cross-platform where, like, you can play on the planet and also...
Right, so you play EVE Online, and you're, like, in a ship
yeah.
around the planet or whatever. You're doing planetary interactions
mm-hmm.
with people playing Dust. Dust, which is on PS3, is a full first-person shooter experience. So think more like Halo, Call of Duty,
mm-hmm.
Modern Warfare, the Medal of Honor. Type of situation
mm-hmm.
and you're doing things, you're completing objectives that allow you to interact with the people in space. The people in space are also doing things to help interact with you on the planet,
mm-hmm.
but they actually went a little step further, and at one of the game shows very recently, whether it, I think it was like Tokyo Game Show, the TGS, or one of those, they've released a trailer for something called EVR. And it's compatible with the Oculus Rift. We've talked about the Oculus Rift
mm-hmm.
before. It's the head-mounted display that does head
really?
Tracking
They're gonna...
and virtual reality. They're actually making, and again, if you want to Google this, Google
awesome.
CCP space EVR. It is a head-mounted tracking display setup game that allows you to fly as if you are a person in a starfighter.
That is so
very
awesome.
Very similar. Again, like if there's two things you want to bet on in the tech world, one, everyone's going to have a smartwatch like the Pebble. I'm mm-hmm. wearing mine right now. I can't take it off. It's not mm-hmm. because I don't know how. It's because I don't want to. I need it. It's in my life. There's also, we're going to talk about an app for the iPhone, Android, and for the Pebble later. But everyone's going to have a smartphone in the future, and everyone is going to, people are going to be making space simulations. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. So Star Citizen, Kinetic Void, mm-hmm. games like Free Space and Freelancer and games like that, that's coming back. EVR is very much that type of game, a space sim.
Really?
You fly around, awesome. You are a person. Yeah.
And you have the little headset thing that makes it look way better than any other game.
I have not personally tried. I know it's getting some real great buzz. Like Jimmy Fallon tried it out on his show, and it is a little crazy. Like the amount of press it's actually getting.
I'd say everyone has said this is the best simulator that's ever existed in the world ever.
Now it took a hit because John Carmack, pretty much the father of most modern first person shooters, you know, like Quake, Doom, Wolfenstein, like all of the, or Wolf 3D, he pretty much revolutionized and recreated the way games are programmed. He said that it's like one of the most revolutionary things. He's going to use it, and they were recreating Doom 3 BFG edition to be fully compatible with the Oculus Rift. It turns out that I don't think that it is. Like they kind of came back off of that and said, for whatever reason, like they're not going to build that functionality in natively. Now, it will be in there at some point. They did say they're very interested and very dedicated to bringing that type of functionality in, but not immediately.
Huh.
So we talked about Eve, you know, happy birthday to Eve, blah, 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 everything's great. Now on the other side, you know, Blizzard. Blizzard's really good with WoW and everything. You already know what's coming up. So today, there was a post on Mitani about the about Diablo 3 being susceptible to this exploit, a gold duping exploit that, get this, this is crazy. I'm sorry, this is like insane. A couple people started using it, and a couple, I mean more than two, like a few people started using this exploit, and it was 470 trillion gold generated in an hour. Within
you realize
the
how
hour,
much gold that is.
470 trillion. I didn't even know you could have that many digits. I didn't even know that number went that high.
Yeah, what the heck? Like, why can't we have this in real life? I mean, hey.
So it'd be great. Now, the bad thing, and I imagine this is a good thing, we don't have it in real life.
Yeah.
The bad thing is Blizzard has constructed Diablo very much like Diablo 2 around an auction house. An auction house that is, it fluctuates, and it really is a micro economy, an economy all its own inside the game.
It's really, really cool how it works.
It's awesome how it works, and it's a little more, like you need to use the auction house. If you're really going to excel at Diablo and do well at Diablo, especially in the harder levels, you have to play the auction house game at some point. Even if it is losing money to get the items you want, you have to play it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, whenever you duplicate gold and you have all of this currency now, items cost so much less.
Mm-hmm.
You can really mess up the economy, and that's what happened. They banned these streamers. I think Inigo Montoya, D3 Inigo Montoya.
What his name?
Yeah, no, his name's pretty good.
You come up on.
he got banned. He was streaming it, and he got banned, as well as they banhammered like a lot of people.
Yeah.
But Blizzard, people were demanding server rollbacks, you know, roll it back to the other revision. And Blizzard released a statement at midnight saying, listen, at this time, we've decided we're not going to do a server rollback. We're just going to kind of let it ride and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's paraphrase. That's not what, you know, the Blues said or whatever. But if one guy said, it was a player on the forums, he says, if there is no rollback, then gold will have no value. And that's a pretty, for a game that is, you know, relying on this type of, this type of thing, this type of interaction with other players in this type of auction house environment, that's pretty crazy.
It's a pretty big deal,
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I think, I don't know, I'm not going to say that they're going to roll back. Like, I guess we can take a bet. Like, you bet they're going to roll back?
I mean, Blizzard, they just said they weren't going to roll back.
Well,
so, I mean, that makes me
think. They said that what? Like, they said that 16 hours ago.
Oh, they said that
Well, okay, like 14 hours ago.
Well,
our
I guess
time.
In this case, you kind of have to define rollback, because they could say like, "Oh no, we're not going to unpatch," but they could just be like, "You know, we're going to delete those characters and all their gold and make everything back to how the way it was."
Well, that's the problem. That's essentially a server rollback. So for those that don't understand, whenever they have. They patched it to 1.0.8, and that patched out this exploit. But before the exploit, characters got in there, they duplicated all this gold, and they modified it. If they just got all this gold, like, it's cool, you have all this gold, big whoop. They actually did stuff with it, though. They actually changed items on the auction house and bid things up and bid things down and really changed the whole economy within the game. And it's not like that is a game boss, like somebody who killed somebody. It's not like there's a bug in the game where, you know, this guy never dies or whatever. That's not something, you know, and you lost all your gear. Yeah. The problem is they just can't give you the gear back. They have to roll back every item that was affected, and that is a big deal considering the scope, like the huge scale of Diablo 3 and everything that's on the auction house. And not just it was contained to the region. Let's put it that way. It was contained to the server's region.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a saving grace. You know, people in wherever wasn't affected. But
so it was all this. It was all on one server that this happened.
Or? It's distributed. So I want to say it was all in the North American servers. It was. I mean, the patch went through all of the servers. But the bulk of the players, I mean, bulk of players were affected.
Yeah.
It was fairly limited, and I mean, that's good, but, and it was cool that the accounts that did all that stuff were banned. They won't do it again. Of course, they could just buy another copy of Diablo and do it again. Well, then I can't do that again, but they can get playing again. That's not a big deal. And I'm sure that Blizzard's going to make good on making whoever's responsible pay.
Yeah.
You know, player-wise. As far as a server rollback, I think that this is probably going to be something that's rather upsetting for people. Some people are going to say, oh, they don't do a server rollback, I'm not going to play anymore. Well, I think you're lying. I think you're going to play anyway. I think you're going to continue to play. People always do that. You know, they say they're going to quit a game if they don't do this or do that.
And,
the game didn't cheat you so much as the player that was doing all that cheating did.
But at the same time, though, like you were saying, if they actually went and affected the auction house, I feel like they might have to roll back. I know they said they won't, but I mean, I feel like in a sense it is still a rollback.
Yeah, it is, and...
Like, they could just do a rollback without calling it a rollback and be like, well, we didn't actually roll back.
I feel...
I mean, Blizzard has been kind of sheepish about things in the past.
It depends on how big of a...
mess up this was? Like, how much...
I guess how much it entails to actually fix it.
Yeah.
If okay, so from a completely, you know, technical side, if you have a database... And you make regular backups of the database, and you can go in and you can write some commands. It may take, like, you know, a couple days to figure out the correct set of commands and test them and make sure it's okay. But you can go in and you can write those commands, and then you can go ahead and say, all right, the game is down for an hour or 5 hours, however big the database is. It's a big database, I imagine.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to run all these commands all at once, and we're going to bring all the servers back up, and we're going to make sure everything's good. And everybody who got screwed, all of these items that got really changed and messed up, we've used these, you know, genetic algorithms. We figured it out. Mm-hmm. We're intelligent. We're smart people. And we're going to run these things, and we're going to be back. You know, you're not going to lose anything you have.
Yeah.
So if you bought something low, then that's fine. If you bought something high, then okay, fine. But it's going to fix the auction house.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is going to be a speed bump. It's just like, you know, the depression or the recession, you know, in real life. It's hard. It will recover. The whole nature of an economy is it ebbs and it flows. Things go up with inflation. Things go down. Mm-hmm. Whenever, you know, things are when business is booming, it's booming. When it's not, it's not. But it's supposed to have that back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they mess with it now... Economists in the real world, like in America's economy, have said very similar things. Like, if you keep trying to push money into the economy and try to fix it, you will just make it harder and harder. Mm-hmm. It's going to repair itself. It may take a little bit longer than normal, but it's going to take a lot longer if you try and fix it. Just let it fix itself. Mm-hmm. So that's what Blizzard, I think, is trying to do right now. They're saying, let's let it fix itself. Let's see what happens and you know, do whatever. We didn't. I think we talked that to death pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
We said last time we were going to probably do a Daft Punk section, like a Daft Punk song or a Daft Punk show. We don't really have the time to do that now.
Unfortunately.
But because of the last show being 2 weeks in the making.
Yeah.
But we do have a remix. It's the FOOL remix of Technologic, the full remix. We actually got it off of soundestyle.com. This is originally by Daft Punk, and I think it keeps all of it. It's just it's improved. I think Technologic was off of what? Human After All? That was off their third or fourth album.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, most of their famous songs are off that one.
Yeah, they had Discover or Discovery, and then Human After All. Homework was like one of their first ones. Yeah. But we're gonna play. Go ahead and we're gonna play Technologic, the full remix on by Daft Punk.
It's pretty awesome.
This is Experience Points. I'm MG,
and I'm Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points. I'm still MG for now, at least.
And I am still Will as we speak.
I mean, I'm looking at him. He looks like Will.
And you look like MG, so sweet. I mean, that works.
So that was Technologic, the full remix by Daft Punk. It was on soundisstyle.com. If you want to download it, you can download it. Just search for Daft Punk or something on SoundStyle. Soundisstyle.com.
Very useful website.
Yeah, it's pretty useful. I did something pretty cool. Again, we were always talking like how I'm hacking things and how I'm like breaking stuff open. I bought a Dreamcast, right? I went on eBay. Everyone's like, if you remember the Dreamcast, you probably remember good things about it, because a lot of people don't remember the Dreamcast. It's one of the most underrated, underappreciated consoles of generation. I think it's generation 3 or generation 4 consoles. It's in the same generation as the PlayStation 2. And I believe the GameCube.
Really?
Definitely the same generation as PlayStation 2 and the Xbox.
I did not know it was that recent.
I think there's like seven generations of consoles, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway, I bought it off of eBay, and it's pretty cool. Like, I'm very happy with it. I've always wanted I think it's the fifth generation of consoles. Sixth generation, along with the PlayStation 2, GameCube, and the Xbox. So, I've always wanted one of these Dreamcasts. And I think I owned one a while back, like a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And back when I think they stopped being produced in 2001, if I'm correct about this. I'm trying to like kind of back up my information. They stopped being produced like in 2001, and you could still kind of find them on shelves until about 2002. But I mean,
they kind of disappeared now.
Yeah, they kind of disappeared. They had some really innovative and really creative type of games on it, though, like Crazy Taxi, which you probably played Crazy Taxi on like the Xbox or in like the arcade. Jet Set Radio, which is now like Jet Grind Radio Future, which is for Xbox, which has recently resurfaced on PSN, Xbox, and PS Vita. And then Shimu, it was actually a very Japanese-oriented RPG, third person, first of its kind, really, that did it that well. And the whole thing was, it's from Sega. Sega created the arcade, pretty much. You know, they have ruled the arcade for a while, and before the decline of the arcade, this is kind of their big push to get the arcade in your house. And the controller was a little uncouth, you know, it was a little different. You had these big controllers. It was like the Jaguar style controller with but you could see, looking at it, it almost looks like an Xbox controller now.
It really does.
It's got, you know, you're missing a joystick. You got one joystick on the left, one D-pad right below that on the left, and then on the right you've got the four colored buttons, and you've got two trigger buttons, like actually recessed trigger buttons. You're holding it very much like, you know, like the Nintendo 64 controller. So instead of holding the trigger in the middle, hold it on the two boomerang ends, like the two sides.
So it's like a mix between the Nintendo 64 and the Xbox controller.
Right, before Xbox was even around.
Yeah.
Another really cool thing is like it had a lot of technical things about it that were really awesome. The memory cards weren't just memory cards. It was called the VMU, the Visual Memory Unit, and they were like these little Tamagotchi type dudes. Like, you stuck them in the controller and they had a little screen.
Really?
So the game could display something on the screen. It could be a mini game. You could interact with the game in certain ways, and you could pull that out. That had a memory card like built into it, right?
Yeah.
So you could pull that out, and you could actually, it had a battery in it. You could play little mini games from on the save game data. You could play them on the go, like a tiny little Game Boy.
That's really cool.
You could even connect two of them together, like you and your buddy, and you could transfer data, play little mini games against each other. It's really, really cool. Like, I think there was a Tetris game where you could play.
Sega was like better than everyone.
I know, right? It was really, really good. It also used something called the GD-ROM. It was before DVDs came out. So, you know, take it back. You know, 1998 in Japan. It was before the DVD was really released and mainstream. And it had this GD-ROM. Now, I remember CD-ROMs are 700 megabytes at max.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's like an 800 megabyte, 99-minute CD-ROM, but most of the time there were 60 minutes or 70 minutes, 700 megabyte CD-ROMs in the States. This thing had a whopping 1.4 gig disk, 1.4 gigabyte disk. So two CDs on one disc. It was insane. You could put so much information on it, and the games looked amazing because of it. With the graphics
that
unit,
is so cool.
The graphics unit and the RAM. Again, like I'm geeking hard. I'm really geeking. I don't mean I am geeking. I mean I'm actually geeking.
Yeah. It's, why the heck is this forgotten?
So here's why it was forgotten. Even though it had internet gameplay, like it had modem, it shipped with a modem for online play.
Are you kidding?
It was VGA compatible.
Ahead of everything.
It was VGA compatible, which means you could run the entire thing in 640 by 480. Again, I know 480p is not a good resolution today. Back then, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was the best resolution you could get. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. You could play it on a nice 30-40 inch CRT monitor. If you were the rich kids,
CRT.
You could do crazy stuff. You could hook it up to an actual, you know, computer monitor and play it with the correct connections.
It's really cool.
Or you could hook up to a TV and you could work with interlacing, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It did not work because the PlayStation 2 came out afterwards. And the PlayStation 2 had a built-in DVD-ROM. The games were, they had more games to throw at it that people were already playing because of the PlayStation 1. It played PlayStation 1 games. It had all this backwards compatibility, even for hardware. Like the, you know, PS2 memory cards and PS1 memory cards aren't the same, but you could take your PS1 memory cards, put them in there, and save your PS1 games to it.
Mm-hmm.
It did a lot to definitely keep, you know, the mentality of, hey, you know, you're Sony.
Dang,
come
that's
on.
Depressing.
I know. The Sega had, or the it had all these accessories too. Like it had the VMU. It had keyboards, which there was. So there's this game, House of the Dead. House of the Dead, like, is an arcade hit, right?
Yeah.
And it's got light guns, and you're shooting, bam, bam, bam. And then you had this game called Typing of the Dead, and it was a typing game. You had a keyboard, a full size keyboard, and it would throw up words, and like you had to type the word really quick and hit enter, and it would shoot the guy in front of you, and it was an instant hit. It was like, it was a combination of like House of the Dead and Mavis Beacon, like it was Bacon or whatever. It was really, really cool.
Man, that makes me so.
It came with a modem, but it actually had broadband. You could get a broadband thing, and it worked really well on high definition TVs,
man,
because it was digital to digital 480p with progressive scan. Mm-hmm. It was really good. Now the PlayStation had that. You could get component on the PlayStation, but it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And it took a little bit more. It had a fantastic list. It was like almost 700 games. I think like 680 games for it over the 3 or 4 years. That it was actually existing.
That is a stupid amount.
Not even 3 or 4 years. It was 2 years from 1999 in North America to 2001, and it had 688 games. Again, technologically far above its time. Anyway, I'm geeking real hard on the Sega.
Doesn't matter. Like, this is so depressing. Like, hearing the Sega didn't even do, like, I know it didn't do well, obviously, because I basically knew nothing about it until just now. But
yeah,
like,
it had cameras.
Look at all this.
It had keyboards, cameras, remotes.
It had everything.
A web browser. You could actually go on the web when the web was in its infancy.
So basically, this was like a PS3, except ahead. Like,
believe it or not, it actually ran. It ran Windows Compact Edition. So you could put the Quake game, like the Windows version of Quake, in the game console, and it would play. You could actually run around and play Quake
on
it. So there's a few...
Many games in this one.
It also had like the first versions of MMOs. It was called Phantasy Star Online. Yeah, maybe you've heard of it. Phantasy Star Online was fantastic. It's you know, built up more and more and more, but it got its start on the Sega Dreamcast, and it was a like dial-in type of MMO where it was like a dungeon crawler, and you and your buddies all got on your Dreamcast and you play Phantasy Star Online. Now it's come out. There's different versions for GameCube and Xbox, and I believe they have it now for the Vita, or it's going to be released for the Vita soon.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that aside, they're fairly affordable. You know, you can get one for, I think I got mine for $50 on eBay, including shipping. So,
really?
And I got like a ton of games. None of the games I really want. They had like this excellent sports series, 2K, the 2K series. So NBA 2K, NFL, and, NBA, NFL, and NHL 2K. I got all those. I don't really care about sports games, but they are pretty nice. Anyway, I got the Dreamcast, and the problem with the Dreamcast is you never want to use the AV cables. You remember the AV cables?
Yeah.
There's those three cables, the red, the white, and the yellow.
Still around. Like, they're going to be on the PlayStation 4.
Right, right. Like, so those cables suck. Those cables, first off, if you're listening to the show, I'm talking directly to the audience now. If you're listening to the show and you're using RF, don't. Don't use RF. That's the little screw-in cable.
In fact,
they don't even make those anymore. You shouldn't even have a TV with RF. There's a reason. The next thing I should say, if you're still using AV cables, please try and figure out if you could use something better. S-Video, component, anything.
Get a pair of scissors out.
And just cut the cable off.
Snip them, man.
Just cut it off so you will not be tempted.
Just do it quick.
The only reason you should use that, like on a PS3, because that's what the PS3 ships with. I believe.
Yeah, I never understood that either.
It ships with, I guess, HDMI cables are. Yeah, we have the most powerful console on the market, and we have AV cables.
Yeah.
Extremely SD. It can't push any. It can't. I think it does 480i, which is really 360p, which is nothing.
It's not.
So I don't know why they do that, but that's fine. You know, that's the only thing that's really still backwards compatible. You could take the brand new AV cables and play them on the PlayStation 1. You want to take those and you want to throw them away.
Yeah.
You want to get a component cable at the very minimum. But if you can afford it, you want to get an HDMI cable. And that's just how it goes.
Cheap now too, they're not even expensive.
You can get a mono price. You can get. I think I got 6 or 7 HDMI cables of varying length, $7 or $8 with shipping.
Yeah, off Newegg or whatever.
Mono price.
Oh, mono price.
It was $8 total. $8 for like 6 cables and shipping. And they were high-quality cables. It wasn't like these little flimsy, you know, namby-pamby type cables. They were good cables. You want to get HDMI, but the Dreamcast, that's the thing. The Dreamcast only really
has HDMI port.
No, it doesn't have HDMI. It wasn't that advanced. HDMI wasn't even a thing, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure in some labs they were using it. But no, it's got a serial or a cable that's AV cables. The thing is, it had this built-in native VGA resolution capability. So you could go ahead and output native VGA if you had the right cable, or a VGA box. Now, Sega created a VGA box, but they're like hundreds of dollars. Everybody, now that Dreamcasts aren't really being made, everybody is making, or there's some bootleg VGA boxes, but they're $80, $90. I actually opened up the Dreamcast. Like, I got it. I tested to make sure it works. Sweet, cool. I got a working Dreamcast. And then I opened it. I, like, broke it apart.
Yeah.
And I actually started, like, soldering, made my own circuits, you know, and built a VGA box. And
really?
I've got to say, now I've got this, like, you know, these, like, 12 cables coming out the back of the Dreamcast. it's working. I was playing Ikaruga on it. It's this, like, bullet hell game.
Yeah.
I was playing Ikaruga. Love it. It looks fantastic. I'm playing really on, like, cool. like a 20-inch Dell monitor at my desk while I was waiting for the something to load. And, you know, it's really, really good.
It's really cool.
All broken apart. But I would recommend that if you want one of the best consoles, in my opinion, go for a Dreamcast. You know, you can't really lose on it.
Honestly, just now when we were talking about the thing, what is it called? Not the VGA. I can't think of the name of it now. I forgot the
component,
name.
Component, the AV?
Yeah, the AV cables. Like, honestly, I want them, like, after thinking about it, I almost kind of want them to continue putting the AV cables as, like, the standard thing and see how long, like, it's going to be, like, 2057 or something like that. We're like, okay, we still have AV cables. Like, seriously, guys. Okay,
yeah,
guys.
I mean, why are we
stop
making,
trolling now,
we
guys.
We have holograms. You have to connect with AV cables to the hologram.
Like, I think it'd be so funny if, like, 200 years from now, like, AV cable still being
star
used.
Star date.
Like,
2057.
Like, you put them in the box singing the troll song.
I'm on the holodeck. I want to play a game on my PlayStation 17. I need the AV cables. All right. So, we're going to go ahead and we're going to cut to a song. This is off Professor Shy Guy's Rated Heart album. This is called Keywords and Dubstep. We're going to get to more about Professor Shy Guy and a few other things. This is off a Kickstarter, believe it or not. After the break, after the song. I'm MG, this is Experience Points.
And I'm Will, this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. And we are back, this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU and Experience Points. I'm Will.
I'm MG, and that was Professor Shy Guy off his Rated Heart album, Keywords and Dubstep. Did you like that song?
That was a great song.
I like that song because I do listen to everything on the internet with dubstep playing in the background. I have actually speakers outside my headphones, and the speakers blare dubstep, and the headphones are the internet, so I can actually always hear. Yeah, I can always hear, like, people are going to explode when I say, I can always hear my Skrillex. because we all know Skrillex is a dubstep artist. I'm infuriating some people right now. No, we could always.
Goodness! Probably just lost some listeners.
Well, it's about to happen.
Next channel.
So Professor Shy Guy is on Kickstarter right now. If you search for Professor Shy Guy, two words. So Shy Guy's one word. Professor's the other word. If you don't know how to spell Professor, search for Chiptune Pop Album, and you'll find this guy. He's asking for $3,500. He's got 15 days left. He's got about $1,700 of that out of 59 backers. I've backed him, and when you back him, at the minimum, with the lowest amount, I think it's like $5, mm-hmm. you get that song as well as 9 other songs. So you get 10 songs off the track.
It's pretty awesome.
Or off the CD already. And there's actually, I think, the money's for, I think, 5 more songs he's going to make and to press real CDs. But whether or not it succeeds or not, it's not like he can take the MP3s back. You know, he has a Bandcamp up, and I was able to get that. So
it's really cool.
I would recommend going and checking him out. Kickstarter really is a revolutionary thing, right?
It really is.
Kickstarter is, I think Kickstarter is doing this amazing thing where they're taking the necessity for things like labels, mm-hmm. or production runs, mm-hmm. or not production runs, but like all these, you know, corporate testing and everything.
Yeah.
They're really trend setting everything that you would want, whether that's music, art, technology, mm-hmm. you know, video games, actual hardware and things, mm-hmm. you'd use. Like I've backed 15 projects off of it total. And it's every one of them's been worth it.
It's awesome.
It's
cool because it's like taking the mainstream market with like Sony and all the big companies like Apple, and a revolutionary ideas go on a Kickstarter, and it's just like an independent little group of people, yeah. or something, and it turns into like this huge project because of Kickstarter.
Do you think Kickstarter is bad for these other guys' business, like Apple and Sony and Samsung? And
I think in a way, yeah, like I think slightly yes, but in a way, I think it actually helps them because they're like, oh wow, this is really, really famous. Let's make our own really good version of this.
Kickstarter sets the trend, and then they just throw money at whatever.
So Kickstarter is becoming like mainstream, I feel like, in the world of technology or whatever, because of that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I said earlier we were going to talk about an app, and we're gonna bounce back between this app and Kickstarter, but I had this app, I guess iOS, Android app. Sorry for all you Windows Phone user out there, that one user.
It was pretty cool, though.
It's this app called Runkeeper. It's a free app, but you can subscribe to like the elite service. And the only reason I mention it, it's an app to keep you healthy. It monitors via GPS how far you run and how fast you run or walk or cycle or whatever.
Yeah, it's an awesome looking app.
It keeps a bunch of statistics, but they actually just integrated Pebble into it. So you could pair it with Pebble, or Pebble's automatically paired with your phone. It'll show you. Honestly, it's what they were promising when the Pebble first came out. Like the Pebble's,
yeah, like in the
Pebble's
little
video,
commercial. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you can go on a bike ride or whatever, and you can have your distance measured and how many calories you lost,
right.
and all this other stuff.
I thought it was dumb. I thought there was like it was on there, and I'm like, well, I don't. There's only 4 buttons. I guess it's none of these. Maybe if I hold 2 of them or whatever. No, it wasn't on there. It was actually from another app. Now that app's Runkeeper. There's a few other apps that are starting to do it.
Yeah.
But Pebble's really exploding. That's kind of like the big success story of Kickstarters, that Pebble is this huge, mm-hmm. big, you know, giant thing. They got so much money. But a few other things are happening. For instance, Jonathan Colton, I think we talked about it in the previous episode, the one that took a little while.
Yeah, we played some of the stuff.
I actually backed that. So I'm gonna get the what do you call it? The digital, like I think I got the physical and the digital, and the actual songs from the
new stuff,
the comic book, yeah, the comic series that's gonna be made, Code Monkey Save World,
yeah.
And again, like if you haven't looked at this, it's got 6 days left. They asked for 39,000, and they're almost 255,000.
So crazy.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I can't imagine what this is gonna turn into.
It's got the potential to stretch. So much. It's got a great
team of people and everything.
Oh yeah, you got people that worked on Marvel, mm-hmm. that worked on DC. You got people that did artwork and lines for, I believe, Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've definitely got awesome character design, and you know, just the cover. The cover, I want it to be a movie.
Yeah.
Already from that. And on top of you know, the digital. And the actual, what do you call it, the graphic novel, physical graphic novel. I think there are 4 issues. You also get like soundtracks and stuff if you do that. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Colton's way on board, and it's not rare that you get an artist on board with things like that. But it is awesome when it does happen. Mm-hmm. Another amazing thing, and again, we actually have, well, this is the tie-in to the next song.
Yeah.
I-Fi Dragons, right? We've played a lot of I-Fi Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I love I-Fi Dragons. Mm-hmm. I've met everybody in the band, in the this generation of the band, and they are fantastic. Brian, Hari, Chad, Packy, and Bill, fantastic. And we've even played some of Bill's you know, solo stuff, as we'll post. But I-Fi Dragons, just real short, and we may have an interview with I-Fi Dragons. I'm not going to oversell it. I've talked with Brian, and he said that it's possible, and that he's really excited about it.
It's really, really
cool. 5 days ago, I think, at the beginning of this week, I-Fi Dragons put up a Kickstarter for Project Atma, and it's an epic new album. Their words, not mine, but I'm sure it will be. They wanted $20,000 to help fund, not fully fund, help fund this album. They were going to go in about $20,000 personal debt themselves to fund this album, and the $40,000 total, or the however much total, was going to make the album. They got a label, and again, I'm not gonna. From what I understand, they got a label, and then they got off the label. There's something happened, or some occurred, and they got off the label. I'm sure if we have an interview, we'll be able to ask them more about it. But they wanted to get off their label. They got off their label, and now they want to make a new album, and they were asking for community support. In 8 hours, they posted this at midnight. In 8 hours, they had already met that $20,000 goal. A few more hours, 25,000. Now, 5 days, almost 6 days later, $77,624 with over 2,100 backers.
It's completely crazy.
It is amazing.
Like a month left, too.
Yeah, they still have the entirety of this month and a little bit of June spillover. They are beside themselves. The updates that, again, I've backed it. The updates that I've been getting are fantastic. Brian is, and again, I'm sure it's everybody in the band, but Brian's the account that made it. He is just like, this is insane. This is crazy. He doesn't know how to describe it. And it really, I think it's personally to me, it's like a heartwarming feeling. Like, one, I get to be part of this really awesome thing and watch one of my favorite bands in this genre do something amazing with money that we are throwing at them. We are literally throwing via Amazon payment. We are throwing money at these guys to do what they do. And, you know, if that doesn't confirm that you're doing the right thing and that people love you for it, I don't know what does. In the fact that, and again, we're going to address this in the interview, the hopeful interview that we're going to have. If crowdsourcing is this successful, then you look at people like Ronald Jenkins, you look at people like Jonathan Colton, you look at even people, because I mean, I feel like Jonathan Colton doesn't need to make, he can make money, he doesn't need to ask for money, but he could. You know, you get these people, collaborations ensue, or collaboration ensues, correct English. You know, you get all this stuff happening, and in the end, you just see this big, giant balloon of creativity. And it's exactly what people want. If they didn't want it, they wouldn't pay for it. It wouldn't be successful. They wouldn't make it. And it wouldn't be out there. And I feel like it's such a departure, a welcome departure from things like, honestly, all of the trendy pop music. All that you do, when you turn on the normal radio and you hear all this music that's just really bad.
It's really annoying.
Even on like Sirius or XM, like some of the paid for services, you turn it on and you're like, man, I want to go to like a hit station. But then when you go to like the top 20 on 20 or whatever,
it's
still bad. Like,
yeah,
it's all generic pop. It's all really bad. I'm looking forward to this in the best possible way.
I was going to say, a little tie-in, you know who doesn't play really bad pop music? Southeastern's old 90.9 KSLU
doesn't play bad pop music.
But you mentioned Ronald Jenkins, though, on Kickstarter. He actually was on Kickstarter? No.
I'm saying, like, it seems like when you look at all of the artists, they have one or two really good songs, and they put them up on YouTube. Now, on one side, it's like, oh, you get the Justin Bieber, you know, success. Oh, Justin Bieber got found by, who was it, Usher or whatever?
Yeah.
And now Justin Bieber is probably more famous than Usher.
By a mile.
You know, even though Usher, I think, probably is a better artist.
Yeah.
Not that I'm into Usher or whatever. I don't want anyone to misunderstand that. But not that it's a bad thing. Not that I hate people that hate, you know, that like Usher. I'm going to stop there. No, so you got that type of success story. But then I feel that this is a, I don't think you should have to be found so much. If you present your idea and people discover it via a platform like Kickstarter, and that should verify
it's
that
cool.
Based off of, again, like sometimes you don't need a really good video on Kickstarter to make it. Now, I mean, you need a better than bad video, But if your idea is good enough, people will fund it. If you're not asking for a ton of money, you know, like $500,000 to do something that only costs $25.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with I guess some guys that are really into what they're doing, like iFight Dragons, they are really the geeks and the nerds and the trendy nerds, like the ones that they're trendy because they know how it works now.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I feel a strong connection. They probably were exactly where I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, or similar where I was in high school. Versus, I don't know. You get like a, and I hate to call it Will I Am again. If he wants to call us up, we'll be glad to take his interview too. He has that song Geekin' that came out, and we're not going to play it because I think it's a terrible song. It's honestly a bunch of pop culture references about being a geek. And I'm thinking, like, maybe you really were a geek way back in the day. Probably,
nowadays.
Like Lil Wayne was a geek, you know? Mm-hmm. But don't think you could just make a song called Geekin' and all of a sudden you're a geek again. That people are going to, you know, they had him on a show about technology. And I'm like, dude, come on. Like, I get it that you were on the Black Eyed Peas and you did this thing, but ideas are one thing, making it happen's another. And I feel like, you know, I just feel like iFight Dragons, Will I Am, completely separate. Shouldn't need to say that, but I did.
Yeah.
We actually have one of iFight Dragons' new songs. It's a demo version of the song. It's called Bernadette. It's going to be off of Atma once it releases. And I'm going to try and sweet talk Brian. I don't know if it's going to be, it'll probably be a Skype interview or something. If we can get him through an interview, I don't know if we'll do it in the studio. It may just be something we re-record or that we record and then play.
Yeah.
But if you have any questions, go ahead to the Facebook and post them on the Facebook and we'll try and get more of maybe a Google Hangout or something and record it. You know, we still need to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to get some super secret Project Atma songs or maybe at least some demos from B-sides from their other albums. But this is Bernadette. This is a demo from Project Atma. I'm MG.
And I am Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU and Experience Point. And we are back. I am Will.
I am MG. This is Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM. What's the show?
Experience Point.
I thought he forgot the show for a second. That's right, Experience Point, but not for much longer. We're out. We have a couple announcements.
Yeah.
Some public service announcement from MG and Will.
Candygram. Wait, that isn't
next week, Experience Points is a no show.
Unfortunately.
We're not going to be here next week. Sorry. I'm going to be in Fiji. Yeah. And Will is actually exploring the far reaches of Mars. No, he's actually. Yeah. You have finals, don't you?
Yeah,
finals. How many finals you have?
We
got five
classes.
So you got five
finals. Yeah, five finals.
That math works out.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah. So I don't have finals, thank God. But he does, and I'm not gonna do the show without him unless we have like a creative difference argument or something. but no. So next week there will be no Experience Points. Mark it on your calendar to not show up.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be here. It'll probably be AAA music.
Make an appointment not to be there.
Yep. Another announcement. Facebook.com/ I don't even know if it's the Experience Points or EXPTS or whatever.
Something.
Search Facebook for Experience Points. I'll try to make like a website like experiencepoints.com and it'll redirect to the Facebook until we pick something up and put it on there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah.
Something for check me to out do
Facebook.
In my free time.
Check out Facebook and we'll do something cool on Facebook if the iFi Dragon thing happens. If it doesn't, then we'll just keep waiting. go to Kickstarter. Listen, personal message from MG and Will to you. Kickstarter, again, we talk about Kickstarter a lot, but it really is, it's like way better than voting.
It's all it's cracked up to be, basically.
It really is. It's all it's cracked up
to
be.
In fact, I'd say it's more than it's cracked up to be.
It's look at it this way. If you want to vote someone into office, you vote for somebody, and then it goes to the colleges or whatever, the electoral colleges, and then that goes somewhere, and you really don't know how it happens. You could, you know how I make a sandwich. You don't know how voting works. Kickstarter is like a sandwich. You know how to make a sandwich.
It's the worst analogy ever.
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. You take Kickstarter, you put some mayonnaise on it. That's how Kickstarter works, with mayonnaise.
You just put mayonnaise on your computer and Kickstarter will do what you want it to.
Baloney. It's got baloney.
Baloney.
Not baloney. Baloney. So no, go to Kickstarter, because Kickstarter really does show the world what you want
to
happen. If you want something and it's on Kickstarter and you don't back it and it doesn't get funded, then you're kind of responsible. Now, I know everyone doesn't have that, you know, all this money to, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just trying to say it's your fault. If, I mean, obviously Atma's getting made,
yeah.
And we're going to talk about one real quick and then we're going to play a song and we're going to leave, but You know, if you want something to happen, you have to, even if you don't think it's going to be good, you almost have to throw money at it because it's an idea.
Yeah.
It's like V for Vendetta, man. You got to watch that movie and you got to know what they're talking about.
That is a great.
It's like the 5th of November. You got to remember, like Kickstarter.
Remember the 5th of November.
You've got to, no, it's Kickstarter now. We're changing
it. Gunpowder, Treason, and Plot?
About Kickstarter. That's what it was talking about.
Kickstarter,
it was
man.
Talking about Kickstarter, crowdfunding, Indiegogo, Wish, all that stuff. If you want something to happen and you're not going to do it, you gotta give somebody the money to do it. Like, that's just how it goes. You can't hinge yourself on Sony, Samsung, or all the big names making something, because they're just in it for the money. You know,
and in the end, by you voting for something, you're actually giving them an idea of what to make next. So
I mean, again, like the Pebble's the first version of the really smart watch that's trendy,
and Apple's making one also.
Yeah, like give it Google Glasses. You don't think
Google Glass.
Yeah, people are gonna make Google Glasses?
Cannot wait.
Like some Apple's gonna make Apple Glasses or eyeglass or something like that. You know, it's gonna be crazy. But
eyeglass.
So something I forgot to mention. It wasn't because I dislike them or anything. It was just I completely forgot to mention it. Anamanaguchi is they also have a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And they are fully funded at this point. I think they asked for 50 grand. They almost had like 100 grand.
Yeah, it's almost like the same story with iFi Dragons with the ask for a small amount of money. They have like way more than what they need, and they still have like an entire month to go.
Yeah, they still have like 24 days. And again, they have some of their tracks on there. I think they're doing like, this is to finish the album. Press LPs, maybe, like they're doing crazy stuff. They're doing swag, like they're just doing swag. That's all they're doing. iFi Dragons, they're making everything crazy. Anamanaguchi is mainly swagging it out. We don't have any of the songs off of the Endless Fantasy album that they're making,
unfortunately.
But we will have it soon enough. Instead, we have Helix Nebula, so we're gonna leave you with Helix Nebula. Enjoy it. This is MG.
And I'm Will.
And he's Will. We're signing off.
We are signing off
for a week. Well,
yes,
2 weeks.
Enjoy
2 weeks.
Finals. And I know that sentence doesn't make any sense.
We will be here. This because this was someone just smoke signaled us. We will be here during the summer, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That was more of like a...
Yeah, sorry.
Like you bet your buns we're going to be here during
the summer.
So
next week, we will not be here because of finals. But then after that, we will be here permanently. So while you're at the beach,
well,
make sure
we,
you bring
we
your
may
radio.
Not be, we may not be here unless we if we go on vacation.
True.
We might Skype in.
Skype in.
We might Ventrilo
in. That'd be kind of cool, actually. Ventrilo. Okay, everybody, if you listen to the show, go ahead and get in this server. It's 112.
We could Wilco in. Remember Roger Wilco?
Anyway,
we'll VoIP in. This is Helix Nebula by Anamanaguchi. Check out all of the Kickstarters.
All of them. Check out them all.
Fund all the things.
Fund all the things.
Anyways. I'm MG.
And I am Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU and Experience Points.